ननु but Dehabhajam of one who has a spirit, a material body. Na not Gyayate is known. Bhagavataha of the personality of Godhead. Gatihi, course. Iti, so it is. Avadyam, great offense. Na anyat, none beyond. Tvat, you. Asti, there is. Bhagavan, O my Lord. Api, even though there is. Tat, anything that may be. Na, never. Shuddham, absolute. Maya, material energy. Gunavyatikarat, because of the mixture of the modes of. Yet, to which. Uruhu, transcendental. Vibhasi, you are. Translation. Lord Brahma said, O my Lord, today after many, many years of penance, I have come to know about you. Oh, how unfortunate the embodied living entities are that they are unable to know your personality. My Lord, you are the only knowable object because there is nothing supreme beyond you. If there is anything supposedly superior to you, it is not the absolute. You exist as the supreme by exhibiting the creative energy of matter. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The highest peak of the ignorance of the living entities who are conditioned by material bodies is that they are unaware of the supreme cause of the cosmic manifestation. Different people have different theories regarding the supreme cause, but none of them are genuine. The only supreme cause is Vishnu, and the intervening impediment is the illusory energy of the Lord. The Lord has employed His wonderful material energy in manifesting many, many wonderful distractions in the material world, and the conditioned souls illusioned by the same energy are thus unable to know the supreme cause. The most stalwart scientists and philosophers, therefore, cannot be accepted as wonderful. They only appear wonderful because they are instruments in the hands of the illusory energy of the Lord. Under illusion, the general mass of people deny the existence of the Supreme Lord and accept the foolish products of illusory energy as supreme. One can know the supreme cause, the personality of Godhead, by the causeless mercy of the Lord, which is bestowed upon the Lord's pure devotees like Brahma and those in His disciplic succession. By acts of penance only was Lord Brahma able to see the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and by realization only could he understand the Lord as He is. Brahma was extremely satisfied upon observing the magnificent beauty and opulence of the Lord, and he admitted that nothing can be comparable to Him. Only by penance can one appreciate the beauty and opulence of the Lord, and when one is acquainted with the beauty and opulence, with that beauty and opulence, he is no longer attracted by any other. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2:59, Param Drishtva Nivartate. Foolish human beings who do not endeavor to investigate the supreme beauty and opulence of the Lord are here condemned by Brahma. It is imperative that every human being try for such knowledge, and if anyone does not do so, his life is spoiled. Anything that is beautiful and opulent in the material sense is enjoyed by those living entities who are like crows. Crows always engage in picking at rejected garbage whereas the white ducks do not mix with the crows. Rather, they take pleasure in transparent lakes with lotus flowers, surrounded by beautiful orchards. Both crows and ducks are undoubtedly birds by birth, but they are not of the same feather. Ramavacha, gyato simedyam suchiran nanudeha bhajam, nagyayate bhagavato gatir adyavadyam, nanyatvarasti bhagavan apitan nashuddham, maya guna vyatikaran yarurur vibhasi. Om Gyanatimarandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chokshunamiratam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namah. One point here is that one can only know the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the grace of the Lord Himself. It is not by simply one's austerities or penances. Although Brahma is saying that by his penance and many years of austerities, he's come to know the Lord. But that's not the reason. The only reason that one can know the Supreme Lord is by his own causeless mercy. Krishna cannot be known by any other method. He agrees to reveal himself, and then and only then is it possible to understand him. In other words, it is not by some cause that one can know Krishna. That would mean that Krishna is then subjected to something. But he's Svarat, he's independent. He's not subjected to any rules. There's no law, there's no force that obliges him. But because he's all merciful, he likes, as a person, to give his causeless mercy to the living entities. It's his nature. His nature is all merciful. In fact, this is considered to be his greatest of all qualities, jiva-doya, his mercy upon the jivas. Although he has so many qualities, Rupa Goswami has described 64 of his qualities. And of course, there's unlimited qualities of the Lord, but still, this one, his kindness and mercy upon the living entities, is considered to be the most important. Because otherwise, how would we ever know him? How would we ever get out of this material entanglement? We living entities have foolishly fallen into this material ocean. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patita maham vishame bhavam budho kripaya tava parapangita stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servant. But somehow or other I have fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Please therefore pick me up and fix me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So we've fallen into the ocean. Bhavam budho. Baba, material ocean. How can we get out? We are like in the middle of the ocean. If someone tries to swim out, how can he do it? By his own strength, even if he is an expert swimmer, he cannot. So the only hope is if someone comes and saves him. And that is the arrangement of Krishna, that he arranges to come himself or to send his representative. And the representative of the Lord picks us up out of the ocean of material existence and fixes us at the lotus feet of the Lord. And that being fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord means to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. That is the real meaning of being situated at the lotus feet of the Lord. Not simply to sit there and do nothing, but to be engaged at the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. That is our natural constitutional position. By nature, we are persons, we are active, we are full of desires. Desire is the constant companion of the soul. The soul cannot be desireless. But material desires are troublesome. They cause us so much pain. As long as one is in material desires, then he'll be frustrated. Moga sha, moga karmano, moga jnana vijeta saha. There are moga means frustrated. Mogyasa. So all of his desires will be frustrated as long as he ignores the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not possible to ignore the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without being considered foolish or insane or something. How can we ignore Krishna's position? Yet that's what society is trying to do. More and more we see that the ignorance is becoming prominent. And in order to ignore Krishna and to ignore God, they have to adopt most bizarre means. All kinds of intoxication. All kinds of distractions, as described here. Maya is providing them. She's working. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetananena kaunteya jagadi parivartite. Under the direction of the Lord, she's providing all these distractions. And the poor living entities are captivated by the illusory energy. So much so that they're forgetting about God, Krishna. And they don't even think it's important. And then they manufacture other pastimes. It's sometimes astonishing how they come up with ways to forget Krishna that are actually so much like Krishna. But they just miss the point. For example, they have all these fictitious characters like Superman and Batman, who have many of the powers or some of the characteristics, imitation of God. They can fly and they can do amazing things, and they're very benevolent and good looking. Sometimes they have heroes that are very expert at enjoying women, very attractive to women. Very similar facsimiles to Krishna's qualities. I was on one airplane and couldn't help but notice they 007. So some of his activities were clearly imitative of Krishna's. That he was always cool and never disturbed, and he was being attacked by all kinds of evil forces, and he was using what appeared to be mystic powers to defeat them and great intelligence. And then afterwards, of course, he would enjoy with the beautiful ladies. And so we like that. We like to hear about such activity. We like to see it. We're captivated. So why not be captivated by Krishna? You want heroes. Here is Krishna. Who could be a greater hero than Krishna? He drove up very nonchalantly in his chariot when there was a wedding about to take place, the most beautiful princess in the world, and her bridegroom was a very powerful, chivalrous prince, and he had with him huge armies there to protect in case there was any disturbance at the marriage ceremony, because often there was, and such a beautiful princess is about to be married, the other kings and princes often would come and try to take her away. So this prince, he had a huge army, and they were all armed and ready to defend. And also they knew that Krishna might come there. Krishna, they thought, was mischievous, and they might have even thought that he was very fond of women. He was known for his Vrindavan pastimes. So they suspected that he might come, and they were ready, and Krishna did come, but he came alone. No army. Just one Brahmin he brought with him. Happened to be the messenger who told him about the upcoming wedding. So he rode up just at his own leisure, picked up the bride-to-be, placed her on his chariot, and then drove off right in the midst of everyone. And then when all the Kshatriyas realized what had happened, they turned and began to chase him and shower him with their arrows. And Krishna turned and faced them alone and defeated all of them. You want heroes? Here's a hero. And he married her at his own will. Took her back to his own place in Dwarka. Oh, what is Dwarka? Even Dwarka is glorious. This was a beautiful city that he constructed in the middle of the ocean. And not an ordinary city, but an extraordinary city, with thousands of beautiful palaces made of jewels and gold and precious gems. That description is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is considered historical evidence. It is written by Vyasadeva. It is not ordinary literature. Vyasadeva is considered the top authority on especially that period of time, because he was personally present, but all time, because he's Vidvan. He's so full of knowledge. And Vyasadeva has described that the palace was, these palaces were so opulent. The jewels that were inside the palaces were such that there was no need for any lamps, because these jewels gave off their own glow. And the pillows and the bedding was as white as the foam of milk, very soft and marble and jewels everywhere. You want hero, so take Krishna. He's the greatest hero. And Krishna didn't just marry one beautiful princess, nor two, nor three. Nowadays, who can imagine marrying? Well, I guess they can imagine having many girlfriends. They try. One famous or infamous personality in America, he boasted that he had relationships with over 1,000 young ladies. He was very proud. Of course, they were very abominable relations, not very pleasing, but he was proud of that. But what to speak of marrying them? He couldn't marry them all. But Krishna married 16,108 beautiful princesses. And many of them he married simultaneously at the same time. And he didn't just keep them all packed up in rows in some big warehouse, but he gave each of them their own beautiful palace. And by his inconceivable potency, he expanded himself into 16,108 forms so that he was with each queen simultaneously. And none of the queens could perceive this, but they all thought that Krishna is so attached to me that he doesn't go anywhere else. This is extraordinary activity. No one can compare. And as far as space travel, because we also like heroes that can travel in space, Krishna went not only in space, but he went to the, crossed through the Brahma Jyoti, through the material coverings, and went to see Mahavishnu. And not only that, but he took Arjuna with him so that Arjuna could see. What a glorious journey that was. The horses, as they were going through, they appeared to hesitate in entering the darkness. And so Krishna put forward his Sudarshan Chakra, the ultimate weapon, and the Sudarshan Chakra defeated all the darkness. Who has a weapon like the Sudarshan Chakra? Such a glorious weapon, can defeat anyone, can do so many amazing things. So this is the real hero. But it's just amazing how we prefer to hear of fictitious heroes or lesser heroes. Maybe there we like to glorify some lesser hero. We have a tendency towards appreciating some Western American outlaws, Jesse James, someone who was very fast at shooting the gun and making, stealing or killing people. We like to hear about great fighters. Such and such outlaw, he was a fast gun, he shot so many people. But who can compare to Krishna? Krishna himself, personally, was able to defeat the whole army of Jarasandha. And he did it 17 times. But yet, when we tell the materialists about Krishna, they say, no, this is mythology, we don't accept it. Even though the evidence is given in the Vedic literatures, they discount the Vedic literatures as being not acceptable evidence. Why? Why should the Vedic literatures be discounted? You accept other methods of history, history books. Why not the Vedas? This is because of our envy. Because Krishna is so extraordinary. His qualities are so much greater than anyone else's. Asamordvam. No one is equal to him or greater than him. That naturally people become envious when they hear that he did all these wonderful things. Then we want to discredit. Shishupal was very envious of Krishna. Of course, he was very upset because he was the bridegroom. He was the one who was supposed to marry that princess we discussed earlier. He had a great hatred towards Krishna, and he was always criticizing. And he went on criticizing and criticizing. 1,000 insults. But finally, he, in the assembly of the Rajasuya sacrifice, he continued insulting Krishna. And he said, I consider Krishna to be no better than a crow. And the devotees, they couldn't tolerate. A devotee cannot tolerate hearing blasphemy of the Lord. And they were Kshatriyas. So it is the duty of a Kshatriya to chastise anyone who blasphemes the Lord, or even a pure devotee, or even an exalted person. It is Manu's law that he should be chastised severely by the Kshatriyas. So they were all prepared to fight with Shishupal. But Krishna restrained him. No. Just wait. And then he went on, and finally Krishna sent his Sudarshan Chakra and just cut off his head. And then the soul of Shishupal himself emerged right into the body of Krishna in front of everyone. So it seems amazing how people, due to envy, even though Krishna had performed so many wonderful activities, Shishupal could not appreciate. And today, also, so many people, they don't appreciate Krishna. If we try to tell them, have you heard about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? They're not interested. They're envious. And they go on criticizing him. They say God has no form, God cannot do this, God is not the creator. They say Krishna is immoral. One time, some Indian gentleman, he dared to tell Srila Prabhupada that he thought that Krishna was immoral because he had so many, he danced with others' wives in the dead of night. Prabhupada roared at him, said, you are immoral, you are dancing with Krishna's wife. Because all the wives are actually Krishna's. All women are belonging to Krishna. So, we're envious. That's our disqualification. That's why we've come to this material world, because of envy. We could not tolerate his exalted position, his glory, and we did not want to chant his glories. Therefore, it's said that one has to be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others. In such a humble state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Otherwise, how can we go on chanting if we're envious of Krishna? We won't be able to tolerate, just like if you have some person that you don't get along with. If there's someone you don't like, and another person comes in and starts glorifying him, you say, stop it! I don't want to hear it. Because we don't like to hear people glorified if we don't like them. That's why it's considered to be an offense to the chanting of the holy names to glorify Krishna amongst those who are envious. To try to glorify Krishna in their presence, because they'll make a blasphemy. Therefore, we shouldn't glorify the Lord in front of those who are envious. We should glorify the Lord in front of those who are at least either interested or at least innocent, but not the envious, because they'll make blasphemous remarks. And that's not good for them, nor is it good for anyone to hear. So, as Brahma is described here, he's lamenting the fate, the unfortunate position of those living entities in the material world who do not know Krishna, who do not love Krishna, who are not devotees. He's feeling sad for them. This is the mood of the Brahma Sampradaya, beginning with our founder Acharya. Our Sampradaya Acharya. He's feeling sad. And therefore, out of compassion, he's giving transcendental knowledge to others. And he organized a whole program for saving the conditioned souls. And this is the mood of all the acharyas in our line. Cho cheta to vimukha cheta sa indriyartha maya sukhaya paramudvaha to vimudha. They feel compassionate for the fallen souls. They want to save them. Paradukha dukhi, a devotee, is distressed at seeing the distress of others. Whereas a materialist, they like to see the distress of others. They appreciate, because it makes them feel fortunate that they're not in distress like the others. Otherwise, how could they have this CNN news broadcasting all over the world, all the time, simply pointing out the misfortune of others? And they do it in such a dramatic way. They have the news right there showing the people, you know, the dead bodies and blood, and people like this. They enjoy watching this. Civilized person doesn't want to see. And they have no way to counteract it. There's nothing they can do to make people fortunate. They're helpless. They themselves are unfortunate. How can they help anyone else? They themselves are being swept away. They have no hope themselves. They're hopeless. And there's no way they can help anyone else. So it's simply a society of hopeless people. Hopeless living entities being dashed against the rocks of time, destroyed. And they have no way out. They have no hope. But their hope is in the scientists and the philosophers that maybe they can save them from death. And the scientists keep promising, yes, we're just on the verge of coming up with the cures of deathlessness. We're almost there. Just give us a little bit more money for research and we'll come up with it. We almost have the cure for AIDS. Don't worry. Go on with your horrible activities. We'll cure you soon. And they keep giving these promises. We've given you computers. We've given you the pill. We've given you so many things. Just have faith in us. We'll save you from death. But they're all dying. All the savior scientists. They're dying and no one could save them. Where are they all now? They're all dead. And all the foolish people giving them money for research, they're also dead, dying. And no one goes to Mukunda. No one takes shelter of Krishna because of envy. Even Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to be immortal, but instead of taking shelter of Mukunda, who can actually give him immortality, he took shelter of the demigods. And the demigods cannot give immortality, although Lord Brahma gave him quite a lot of benedictions. He could not give that. No one can give immortality but Krishna. We should also feel, we should inherit this mood of compassion for the fallen souls, and we should inherit this mood of trying to save them, giving them transcendental knowledge. The transcendental knowledge has come down. Imam vivasvate yogam proktavanaham avyayan vivasvan manave prahur manur ikshvakave bravit evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu sakale neha mahata yoganasta parantapa. This transcendental sense has come down from Krishna to Brahma, from Brahma to Narada, from Narada to Vyas, Vyas to Madhva, from spiritual master to disciple. Since time immemorial, it has been passed on. And now we can receive it in the unbroken chain of disciplic succession. And then we, in turn, have the responsibility to become the next teacher. As we are students, naturally a student. This is the system. It's been the system since time immemorial. The student who hears attentively becomes the next teacher. Even we see this in colleges and universities. The student of such and such professor, then he in turn takes over and he carries on the same, teaching the same thing. This is also our system. It originated with Lord Krishna, this parampara system. And it is our responsibility to carry on and give the same message without changing it, without any adulterations. And if we do that, then we are successful in human form of life, and we can save ourselves and save others. We can be instrumental in saving others. Brahmande brahmite kono bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasade bhai bhakti latabij. We are all ordered to become gurus. Jare deke tare kaha krishna upadesh amara gyai guru tara hana tare desh. This is the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that everyone should become guru. And how does one become a guru? One has to simply present the same message as Lord Krishna, as he's heard through disciplic succession. Then he becomes guru. That is the qualification. So one may think that I'm not qualified. How can I be a guru? But he becomes qualified simply by his sincerity in following the instructions of the Lord and his willingness to present the same teaching. Then he can become guru. Prabhupada said many times, it's not difficult to become a guru. You just have to present as it is. No adulterations. Nothing added and nothing subtracted. No changes. This is our disease. Prabhupada said, our disease, he called it an American disease, but perhaps it's also applicable in this country. Our disease is we like to change things. Especially the Americans, they have this disease, changing everything. Just for the sake of changing. Like, new car every year. Why? They change the backlights. It's so silly in America. They come out with a new car. Everything more or less the same, but they have to change at least the backlights, make them a little different. Just for the sake, or new clothes all the time, changing fashions. We see the devotees, they wear the same clothes. They don't change. They're going on the same clothes, same dress. No need for changing all the fashions. Save so much money that way. But this is the disease of the materialists. They're always changing. They cannot accept the pure, perfect teachings of Krishna. They always want to change them. This is again due to our envy. Because a philosopher, he cannot be a philosopher unless he differs from all the other philosophers. Tarko pratishta shutayo vibhinna asavrishir yasya matam nibhinnam. He has to have a different opinion. Otherwise he won't be honored as a great philosopher. So everyone wants to be known as a great philosopher, so he's always giving his own opinion. In my opinion, he's writing books. The poor libraries are simply overburdened with all these horrible books, different philosophies, everyone giving their own opinion. We have so many now there. The New Age has come. And so with the New Age, we have all kinds of New Age gurus cropping up. Seems like they're just sprouting everywhere, like little flowers in springtime. They just come up everywhere now. We have so many gurus. Dream therapy gurus, light gurus, meditation gurus, therapy gurus, massage gurus. Everyone's a guru. And everyone has their own little slant. They take something from someone else and then they add their own opinion. Well, the world is so unfortunate because everyone is simply distracting them from Krishna. They're taking them away from Krishna. They're not transparent via media. The spiritual master is one who is a transparent via media between the living entities and Krishna. He doesn't block Krishna, but rather he brings Krishna into focus, into clear. Just like glasses. When one's eyesight is not perfect, he cannot see things very clearly. Everything is blurred. And he cannot see the objects that he wants to see. So his relationship with those objects is also blurred. It's not clear. But then, if he puts on the transparent via media in the form of eyeglasses, then that brings everything into focus. Then his relationship becomes enhanced with the object. So we want to see Krishna. Everyone's looking for Krishna, but they don't know. They're not seeing Krishna directly. They're seeing Krishna's energy through the mode of ignorance, or through the mode of passion, or through the mode of goodness, or some mixture of the modes. But they're not seeing Krishna directly. But the spiritual master gives that clear vision of Krishna. Therefore, he's honored as much as the Supreme Lord because he's giving that. He's bringing us closer to Krishna. So we're very fortunate that we have come to this knowledge by the mercy of the representatives of Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma and all the predecessor acharyas, they're all bestowing their blessings upon us. They're all bestowing their mercy upon one who wants to hear about Krishna. So we're not just getting the mercy of the immediate acharya, but we're getting the mercy of all the acharyas. Beginning with Lord Krishna and Brahma, they're all showering their blessings on anyone who sincerely wants to learn about Krishna. Therefore, it's such a powerful process. Therefore, we're able to make advancement very quickly. Because we're getting the combined blessings of all the acharyas. And we can give that mercy to others if we represent and go out and preach and give people knowledge about Krishna. This is the greatest service to society. There's no better welfare work than giving Krishna consciousness, giving them Krishna, saving them from the ocean of suffering in this material world. This is the great gift. So we should go on enthusiastically preaching and learning ourselves, studying the books regularly. These books are not just meant for distribution. They're meant for reading. And we need to read them, otherwise we'll fall down. Because this material energy is so powerful, can bewilder even the greatest personalities, what to speak of ourselves. So whatever hope we have of continuing is only that we keep praying and keep following and reading and hearing and associating with the We have to first what?
Save ourselves.
We need some what? You think? This is seminar. This is the seminar we're having right now. This is Srimad Bhagavatam seminar. This is established by Srila Prabhupada. This seminar, we have daily seminars. Bhagavatam class and Bhagavad Gita class. Prabhupada established that in all the centers. And he wanted everyone, he wanted all of his initiated disciples to attend morning and evening seminars. You call it seminar, call it class. But that's exactly what this is. And this is exactly why we're supposed to attend, because we learn here. We clarify our understanding. Satam prasanga mama virya sambido. In the association of devotees, the discussions about the Lord will be very, very powerful. Mamavirya samvido. They'll have great potency. More so than if we just read on our own. That's also good. But we need to come together and clarify and solidify our understanding in these seminars. What other seminars do you need? This seminar is not sufficient. Srimad Bhagavatam, we're hearing from Lord Brahma. We're in his personal presence. Presence of Sri Sri Gornitai, Lord Jagannath, Subhadra Baladev, all the Vaishnavas. We don't need other programs. This is sufficient. You'd have to take advantage of this seminar, these seminars. But if you don't hear regularly, then yes, then there'll be problems. So, continue. Did you have something further? We can also, yes, we should read Chaitanya Charitamrita also. If that was your point, then that's agreed, that we should hear not only Bhagavatam, not only Bhagavad Gita, also Chaitanya Charitamrita. We may have make some other time for that hearing too. Yes, that's very good. Study that. Because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, as you pointed out, there are so many nice descriptions of interrelating between devotees and with between the guru and the disciples, and all those nice things are there. Lord Chaitanya's activities are very sweet, and we like to hear about them. So we should hear that too. In addition to our regular classes, read Chaitanya Charitamrita too. After you've read Srimad Bhagavatam. Or at least simultaneous. Yes? By the grace of Krishna, they could see the soul. Krishna wanted to make a dramatic show so everyone would see the mercy that he bestowed upon Shishupal. Even though he was a demon, he was killed by the Lord, and therefore he got liberation. So Krishna sometimes does that for extraordinary demons. He kills them personally with his own weapon or his own hand or something like that. Only by the grace of Krishna can everyone see soul merging. So Krishna arranged it like that to glorify Shishupal and glorify himself also. Any other questions? Well, of course, a devotee is willing to take some risks on behalf of service of the Lord, but it's a calculated risk because we're advised not to tell them too much. And also, depending on whether they're envious or not, they may be innocent. So generally, we're distributing literature and things to those who are innocent, who are not openly blasphemous. And a devotee is very intelligent and very expert, so he may give them the medicine with a little sweetener in it too. So they become cured of their disease without even knowing it. An expert doctor, he doesn't come in with a big needle all the time and say, okay, now I'm going to inoculate. The person may run out. The person may be faint and run out the door. So he comes in with, yeah, you just take a few of these, they're very sweet. Just take a few of these. So he gives the medicine that way too. So there's different ways of Anatio Shari Maya Nashi Baralagi Harinama Mahamantra Lao Tumi Magi. The medicine Lord Chaitanya gave is the chanting of the holy names. How sweet it is. The medicine for all of our disease is simply Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What could be sweeter medicine than that, along with a little prasadam?